the Lightning PHP podcast. Finally, after many weeks struggling to make some time to record this podcast, finally, I have here with me Cesar Rodas, that is now a married guy, right? Hello, Cesar.
Hello, Manuel. How are you doing? Yes, I am. I am Mr. Cesar now. Much more serious.
Yeah, now you have much more responsibility.
Yeah.
And now you will be starting making kids.
Yeah.
You could not do that before.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, today we have lots of PHP topics because we've been delaying the recording of this hangout, and more topics of great importance have been appearing. People are talking about them. So, as always, we start about commenting about the latest PHP releases, and at least the latest that we can comment. The last one for PHP 5.4 is the 5.4.30, and at the same time, the 5.5.4.14 also came out. And this is basically many bugs fixed, and there are some security problems also fixed. Cesar, did you check into these bugs, and especially the security fixes? Do you think they are really, really important for people to upgrade, or maybe not that important?
I haven't get the latest version on my servers. I don't have many that are my responsibility, so I do it from time to time, but not always. I'm looking at change sets. I see a few bugs, most of them like under some weird circumstances it could crash, and for security they can show a little bit more of info of what they should. I don't see nothing that you say, oh gosh, I need to upgrade right now, but you should.
Yeah, if you are using at least these versions, I don't know. In your servers, do you control the version in PHP that you use? Or
yeah, I was in 5.4, then I switched to 5.5. So I'm trying to use the latest one. I guess I upgraded a few months ago, like 3 months ago, so it's not the latest one, but it's close to it.
Right, so I don't think there is much more to say, because these are still maintenance releases, and as always, they do not bring any new features that are worth mentioning. Maybe some fixes that were probably upsetting some people that relied on them, but not really many. And talking about new versions, PHP 5.6 is coming close to a release. Meanwhile, there is already a discussion, actually a big noisy discussion, about the name of the next version. Shall it be, the next major version, shall it be PHP 6 or PHP 7? There are pros and cons being brought up for each of the possibilities. Cesar, have you been following these discussions? What do you think about these proposals? And I don't know if you have an opinion about which one you prefer.
Yeah, I didn't follow much until it went viral, sort of speak, on Twitter. Then I read the proposals and I vote. Then that was a regular RFS process, and that was normal. Then I think one of the PHP, one of the send guides, they changed the wiki page. Like, they added more good points for what he wanted. That was the PHP 7. and he deleted a few pros of the PHP 6. So, and people got upset and they canceled their voting and things like that. So basically they are saying, like, we cannot name it PHP 6 because PHP 6 was a failure and people will be confused with the proper PHP 6 and the failed ones from, I don't know, before PHP 5.3. So that was, I don't even remember, but probably 3 years ago. People saying, like, all these technical books, all those blog posts ranting about PHP 6 and why it was killed. So we should name it 7. And all the people say, no, it should be 6 because 6 comes after 5 and things like that. I vote for the PHP 6, like, it should be 6. And the problem that was with the previous PHP 6, I spoke with Rasmus in a conference last year, and he says that they wanted to just give a huge leap between the 5.2 and the PHP 6, so, and they decided to just kill it and make it a progress. So there is the PHP 5.3, 4, 6, so, and all those changes, and now they believe that they are ready. So I guess it should be 6 or 8, so nobody wins. So we could just name it PHP 8. So there it's completely meaningless. It's just a market.
Yes, yeah. Well, personally, I tend to agree with you. If it was up to me, I'll probably vote on PHP 6 because it's the next logical number. And honestly, the PHP 6, the original plans were canceled like 4 years ago. Nobody remembers that. There are posts telling that PHP 6 was canceled that could possibly make some confusion. And I see the point of Serge Rusky of Zen and when he brings that up. But I don't think most people care. And they all of a sudden they see PHP 7, no PHP 6, they think they probably have been asleep for 10 years.
Yeah, and also one of the people say, like, are you saying that PHP developers are so stupid that they cannot understand that this is a different 6 and the previous PHP 6 was a failure but 5 years ago? I don't... it's a lame discussion. Somebody has to do it. And to me, and I voted, it should be 6 or 8, so nobody wins.
It should be 9. Let's make it more confusing. Yeah. Well, I think really this debate does not deserve that much discussion. And honestly, for me, it doesn't matter. Because certainly will not get confused because we cover what happens in the PHP world every month. So it will certainly be me that will get confused, but other people can get confused, but probably those that will get confused, they do not even control the version that they get in their hosting environment because it's
probably do just apt get install PHP and forget
about it. It's even worse. It's the hosting company upgraded it and did not ask me.
I think the problem is that the PHP as a community that they great advances in the last month and years. So they open it and they make it a little bit more democratic. And it was going on well, and people was voting for the version 6, and then the people with more power, they change it, and they say, we should vote again, and they just cancel it. They just kill it. that's not good.
Although, when the result is not convenient, let's cancel it and start over.
Yeah, that's democracy. Yeah.
Anyway, democracy. As a side comment, I was just going to mention that in the Facebook page of PHP classes, I get some very weird requests, often from people that think that PHP class is a sort of training of PHP. So they ask all sorts of requests for learning how to do something. And one of the weirdest ones was about a user that said, oh, my hosting company just upgraded to PHP 5.4, and now all my scripts stopped working because it does not recognize the variables. And, well, it seems that finally the register globals being disabled affected his environment, and since the guy was relying on that, his scripts no longer work, and it just does not control the version of PHP. And if you ask him, probably he'll think for a while how to figure what is the PHP version that is running on his environment. Well, at least this guy knew that it was 5.4, and just to see, people are not following these discussions. The registers globals was deprecated many years ago, and now that it is disabled on his environment, the guy just doesn't know what is going on. So people are not really, really caring or following the PHP versions that come out, because it's not under their control in shared hosting environments. So for those people, it totally does not matter if they have missed a PHP version or not. Okay, so now let's move on to another topic, which is about some
benchmarks. Before I forget, just a comment aside, that register global that was disabled when I started working with PHP, that was 10 years ago, and people are still just having those problems. My goodness, 10 years.
Yeah, okay. That's because it was never disabled, so it was a feature of the language.
Yeah.
For them, it was it always worked, and it doesn't matter. You can wait 10 years after you deprecate the feature to disable it, and people are still using it. They only will care when it stops working.
Yeah.
Okay, but as I was mentioning, there is some benchmarks about the latest progresses on PHP NG. Oh, NG stands, we don't know what is going to be called. But it's probably 6, 7, or 8, or maybe something else. And, yeah. Well, there are some benchmarks here, there are some progress. Oh, by the way, there was a big, big discussion because a comment about it in the other month about the PHP NG was about to bring a JIT engine. There are some people very mad that complained that it is not going to be a JIT because JIT is not there. Well, it is not there, but that's the intention, is to put it there. And the whole branch started with that intention. Whether it is not there or not, it doesn't matter. That's the intention. And now there is a guy from one of PHP developers. I don't know if it would be accurate to say he's a core developer and developed some extensions, but I don't know what distinguishes a core developer or just a sometimes developer. Anyway, it posted an article in the PHP homepage. And he was sort of mad because people were saying that it's going to be a JIT, but it's not a JIT. And, it doesn't matter. The intention is to bring a JIT because it's to bring it on par with Facebook Hack. The fact that there are already some advances without putting a JIT in there, it doesn't matter because the work started there and there were experiences with putting a JIT in there. That said, there's a big discussion, a big rant. The usual Twitter people that stay all day ranting about anything they can, so they can argue because they like to argue forever. They like to sleep on Twitter and Reddit. And it was just funny and make a big deal. There were some complaints about the article that was posted on PHP Classes, which is basically a report of what was posted by Dmitry Stogov at Zen. It was nothing was made up, and it really does not matter if the JIT is working. PHP developers will not invade the JIT, they will use LLVM. And well, that is a side comment about what the PHP NG will be, and what is now is just a start. And what they have already is they have already published some benchmarks. They have achieved quite good speed improvements even without the JIT being enabled. So the hope is that things get even better. So this is I think it is a great progress. Let me try to jump to the results. Cesar, did you look into these results?
I've been reading a lot about it. I never tried it though. I was a little bit lazy, but as we speak, I'm trying to install it so I can play with it. So yeah. Next month I could say something meaningful.
Okay.
But as I've been reading, like, I was surprised to see this branch because in a conference of Rasmus, he says that he was dreaming about it, but he was dreaming for the next maybe 5 years, or
right.
He said that maybe for PHP 8, 7 or 8, in the next six years, 7 years, but that was one direction that he wanted to go, and seeing this, it's really good. It will really change many internal things. So for most programs, you would see the same thing, but running much faster. So that is always good.
Right. Well, as you may remember, what happened is that Facebook announced the Facebook Hack language, and all of a sudden, PHP core developers start becoming more concerned with the circumstantial competition that Facebook Hack happens to be, because if people start moving to Facebook Hack, which is mostly compatible with the current PHP, but it's faster and it still has some features, the official PHP will become less relevant, and I think probably this concerns more Zen, because they always has been sort of in control of the PHP fate. So I think that's, as I mentioned before, that's where all this concern to make PHP faster came from. And where there, you can see here some benchmarks. There are some results here looking at scripts, either for bench.php, which is a script that is running some code, mostly CPU intensive code, and it shows you the number of instructions, number of seconds. And then there is also some information about running WordPress. I'm not exactly what they are running WordPress to, because WordPress does many things, and I don't know what exactly they are running here. They show the number of seconds and the instructions.
They do that so they can show, like, this is our useless benchmark, and this is a real application, so you can see both how it takes in theory and in practice. And the more I read, the more eager I get to just play with it. So everything sounds really good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it doesn't matter what caused this sudden interest to make PHP faster, to have a JIT or not a JIT, or it doesn't matter. What matters is that PHP is moving on.
Exactly.
There are always untapped opportunities to squeeze more performance out of it. Regarding WordPress, I just don't know what it does. Maybe it is written somewhere here, I did not notice, because since WordPress is an application that uses database to store and retrieve articles, I'm sure that the actual WordPress application would do a lot of database accesses, unless there is a lot of caching, which would replace the database accesses by file accesses, at least in the default environment. But I don't know. Well, what matters is that they have posted some results here. For instance, WordPress used to run on 26 seconds, and now it runs on 14 seconds. Seconds, and so it's quite a great speed improvement. Well, there's not much more to say, because until this is usable for all of us, we just can hope that it gets released as soon as possible. I think what was mentioned is that it would be released like sometime in mid 2015. I don't know, so maybe in one year or so. I'm not sure what really remains to be done. Probably the greatest part of the work is to actually integrate the JIT as originally planned. So it requires some core developers with good skills in understanding LLVM and how it works, how we can make it do the actual the conversion of the Zend opcodes into LLVM assembly, and all that done dynamically, so they can take advantage of the speed improvements. So that's mostly it about this topic. So then let's move on with the next topic. And the next topic is somewhat unusual, because we are going to mention first about a couple of other languages to make a point about its relation with the PHP world. Basically, there was a developer, TJ Holloway. I think he was developer of the Express framework for Node.js, and he sort of rage quit the Node.js scene. At least that's what he says in this post. Because he's a bit upset about the way Node.js is evolving or not evolving. I looked at this article, and mostly what I see is that he's really, really upset with the callbacks as a solution. We actually said that many times in the JS classes. Lately in JavaScript podcast, callbacks are a hell, and they cause a lot of trouble, and he's sort of upset with that and probably other things, but from all these 7 complaints, I see like at least half of these complaints are about callback sucks. And what he says is that rage quitting the Node.js for the Go language. Go language is yet another new language that some people like, and there are many things that are similar to JavaScript, but the most important difference that I noticed is that they have something in the Go language, which is the Go routines. And these are means to start some parallel tasks that run along with your current code, but you just can give them a function or an object, and it calls that function, and it starts doing executing code in parallel. So this is the reason of this article that I published. They say just dropping Node.js for Go. And this brought to my mind that recently some people also mentioned that they were very interested in the Facebook hack language as an alternative to the current PHP for many reasons, especially its improvements, what it provides over the regular PHP. And basically what is similar is that, like the Go language, the Facebook hack language also provides a sort of running code in parallel, similar to the Go routines. You can start an object or a function or whatever, and it runs in parallel. It's not really multi-threading. It's more like cooperative multitasking. There are several tasks going on in parallel that they run on the same process. And this is what is similar, and this is something that for the next PHP generation, if it is intended to catch up with Facebook hack, it should also be provided that feature. So it won't just be just bringing a JIT to PHP NG, but also provide that feature of having an easy way to run several asynchronous code tasks in parallel within the same script. Cesar, did you follow this article, these discussions? What are your thoughts?
I read that article. I never heard of anyone saying, I read that same article, they say we are dropping Node and we go to Go. There are different languages, and it's unfair to just compare them for a very simple reason. JavaScript is super dynamic. Go is not dynamic. So it's compiled down to the closest that it could get to the CPU itself. So it looks like Java for some extent.
Yeah.
JavaScript is not. They are complaining now about vague things like callback sucks. Yes, it sucks, but whatever. In the PHP case, it's a little bit different because you do have PHP, which is slow, many people say, and it's slower than many things, but it's good enough. And why is not the Facebook PHP even popular? Even if they implement the same language, they run much faster. It's because of the compiler libraries. It's because you don't have, I want to work with a database different than MySQL. I cannot at the moment. So that is holding them back. And
right.
In the case of hack, I don't see why someone in their sane mind would drop PHP towards hack. Unless they are playing nothing on production, I don't know. I wouldn't trust my environment to a private company, which might as well kill that open source project soon. Go and JavaScript, they are very different. Hack and PHP, they look alike. They have different in semantics, like a few things. And one good thing in the hip hop is that you can mix both PHP and hack, so that is good. So you could learn the language, using bits of it. But to me, it's not mainstream, and it's far off being mainstream. That's my opinion.
Right, and it is just released. It's not something. You can expect people to jump on that soon
My point is, if PHP is great for what its target is, which is websites, you don't need threads there, you don't need Go routines, you don't need channels and multiplexing many things, you don't. That's the thing. If you want to write a network server or something different, then use another language.
That's a good point. People do not really need that, but once they get their hands on that, they probably can develop more efficient code, but the vast majority of the developers is not even concerned to make their current PHP code that much optimized. They just want it to run. And most of the time, the PHP will be waiting for the database to reply any
exactly.
IO operations. And the benefits of running some code in parallel
don't take
as much advantage of them.
Yeah, in the PHP case, there is none. That's why we don't have. And I use Node.js, and I really like it, but it's a different thing. You are writing a web server. You are writing a service in a much more lower level. So there, that advantage of just multiplexing I/O. It's really cool. Inside PHP, how most people use is that they depend on a web server. So you don't need, you just care about a request coming, you do your thing, you print HTML or JSON or whatever, and then you just exit. And you don't care about threats or doing things, and you shouldn't, because that is a front-end request. That should be quick. If you have to handle threats and things like that, you should do that on the back-end with the proper technology, which is right. of your choice.
Yes, and to take advantage of those parallel processing, if you can call it that, because in the end it's not really a separate process. To take advantage of that, you need to be a skilled developer and know very well what you're doing, know how to exploit those possibilities to gain a significant speed improvements or throughput improvements, if you can call it that.
And my point is that you might get... I've been reading like a few hours ago this phrase that says that machines are much cheaper than developer time. So if you have scalability problems, if you save a few milliseconds in every request, you would see a difference if you have 1 billion requests. But you won't see if you have 100 requests an hour or a minute.
Right.
So,
In the Node.js world, I think that the greatest complaint is really the callbacks, because they really make you think deeper how to solve the situations, because to deal with things, everything is done in callbacks, and since they make you think further, they take you more developer time than if you have something similar to Go routines, which is also similar to what Facebook provides. But in the PHP world, we don't have that problem, because if you want to access the database, I don't think there is even a possibility to do it asynchronously, execute this query, call this callback when you are done.
It depends. With MySQL, what you do is that it works like I don't remember the exact interface, but it's select from Unix, I guess. So you could just schedule like, I want to do these three requests, and then you have to loop like, is there any result? But it's your responsibility. So if you know how to do it, you could use it, but it's not mandatory. Mm-hmm. And my point is that that is useful if you write code in a much lower level. Like if you write a proper web server or some container that can run the application. Applications within PHP, they die quickly. Like you get one request, you do something, and you print something, and you die. Although many things are recycled in the background for performance reasons, but for the PHP developer, your application ends quickly. So it's right. a different environment. So I don't.
Yeah,
think...
since you don't have to deal with the callback hell, it's not a big deal. It's not a reason that would make PHP developers to switch for Facebook app. And even Node.js developer switching it for Go, I think it's just that guy. I don't know anybody. Not that I know many people that use Node.js, okay. but I don't know. Those that I know, I don't think they are even considering it, because the one thing that's very important and get you stuck to your language of preference is that you have built lots of libraries, that you have relied on existing libraries to develop your applications. If you move to another language, you have to start over and learn new libraries or create new libraries, and that's really a waste of time. I think it's like walking backwards.
Yeah, and it depends. I mean, I don't do any good, but I tried, and I see hundreds of libraries. It's sort of like Python. In Python, you have hundreds of thousands of libraries. So that is a good point. But writing Go, it's totally different. It's a compiled language. So as much as I want to make it look dynamic, it's not dynamic. So working is completely different. Like, I am used to just save one file into my VIM and just switch to the browser and just refresh it and test it. That I don't care about compilation and things like that. So it's a completely different thing.
Right. Well, anyway, you are more concerned with PHP and the parallel, just that somehow Go offers something that Facebook offers. So the next PHP version might as well also offer that possibility of, I don't know how to call it, synchronous programming, Go routines, whatever. Whatever is made available on the Go language, it may be good to have on the next PHP version. And as a side comment, I noticed, I think it was John Polio, the maintainer of the latest PHP releases, he was posted an article, I did not find it, but it talked about they are evaluating the way well, I don't know if you can call it the event loop. It's those statements that check for call the select lower level function for checking responses of sockets and database handlers, file handlers. And I think they are also thinking about evaluating that possibility of making an elegant solution like Facebook Hack provides to run code multiple parallel tasks within the same script, using some multiplexing of the CPU while some task does not return. Like, for instance, if you call the database or if you call the sleep function, your CPU will be idle and it could be as well running some parallel code. Anyway, this is really advanced, and I suspect we'll get back to that topic later if there are any advances. So now we are going to move on with the next topic. There are several enhancements being proposed. One of them is this bare name array literal. Basically, it is about giving. I think these people want to program in JavaScript because this is like the JSON. They were not happy with changing the arrays to the short syntax, so you don't have to put the array command to form define an array. They also want to change the way you define keys more similar to JavaScript, so it looks more like the JSON syntax. And there was already a vote, and they mostly voted no because we don't need this. Zezer, did you follow this discussion? Or
No, I did not follow, but I had a client once, long time ago, that he was using it, literally this feature, and his website, it was running fine, but I installed it locally, and I saw like 100 notifications, like keywords being transformed to a string. So it does work. You see a bunch of notices and warnings. To me, it's harmless, but I don't see any reason why someone should spend their time developing it. That means like they would have to change things like the parser, the tokenizer. So it's something that will take somebody's time. So people say no because it's it will break compatibilities with the language, like, and that's not good. So I think it's fine to just use a couple of quotes from time to time. So it's completely fine to me.
Yeah. Well, there is a somewhat related proposal, bare name array dereference, which is somewhat similar, but it was also a rejected proposal. This time, so this there was not much to say about this. This is a topic to be forgotten. And another proposal that was also submitted recently, they call it uniform variable syntax, which does not say much, but basically is to somehow complete the task of being able to dereference return values and use them right away, like for instance, a function that returns anonymous function or closure or whatever you want to call it, and being able to call it right away instead of assigning it to a variable and then calling the variable function. Well, this is the proposal. Personally, I would not use this much because probably makes the code less readable, but I can see some people having fun saving a few characters.
Yeah,
probably framing a few CPU cycles.
Yeah.
Oh, you said it. I didn't know. I have nothing against framework people. Anyway, this was proposed, and the most of the people voted yes.
Yes.
Only Derek said no. Oh.
Yeah, the thing is that they are enhancing what an expression is, so the engine will dereference one function's output and many other things before executing it, so it can look more like JavaScript. I don't see any downsides other than it breaks backwards compatibility, but eventually people need to upgrade their PHP version, so
yeah,
it's fine.
It is not exactly backwards incompatible because your current code still works. It's more like it's a new feature that if you use it, your code won't work in past versions.
That
will become backwards incompatible.
Yeah, and to fix it, they are going to add it into the next PHP version, which is the PHP X 6, 7, 8, nobody knows, but in the next version.
PHP asterisk.
PHP X.
PHP future. Okay, and moving on, there is also a topic about bringing a new installer to install backup packages.
Yeah, they want to install like Pico extensions, which are C projects that runs ePHP, so they are extensions. Mm-hmm. And the main idea is to create something compatible with Composer, so the end result could be something like you, in the future, I think, with your Composer, you could say, okay, this project needs this given extension, say, needs a extension to talk with the database X, which is not supported officially, so you could just grab it and compile, and if you are using Windows, it would just download a pre-compiled .dll. So I don't think this project is harmless. I'm following the development closely. The project owner is don't remember the name, but I'm following him on GitHub and Twitter. He is a French guy living in Germany. Excuse me, I forgot his name, but I'm following him and I keep an eye on his project.
Pierre Joy on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. He's a nice guy. Yeah. I know him. We argue a lot. Since probably the pair days, I remember him being a great developer. If I'm not mistaken, he works for Microsoft.
I guess.
To make PHP work well on Windows.
He is a very good developer. Like I'm following him on Twitter, and I agree with most of things that he says and with most of his projects. Right.
So let me. I'm a bit confused about this. Is this to make Instance installable with the Composer application, or is this a new application that is compatible with Composer, but it's a separate project?
It's a separate project. The idea is that they could be compatible, like Sisters project, soon. And the thing that they want to resolve is basically they want to fetch the Tarball from Pickle, from the Pickle website. They want to uncompress it and compile it, or like what Pear does now, guess. And for Windows, because Windows is not a Unix, so they would just, rather than doing that process, they would just fetch the pre-compiled version from the windows.php.net.
I think this can be interesting. I do not install many extensions from Pickle, but I can see the point of bringing something.
I don't install many except for custom database handler for MongoDB and for Redis. Those are global things, so they are not per project basis. So I install it once when my computer is new or when my server is new, and then I forget about it. So I don't install much things either, but I think this is a really good idea.
Right. Well, another proposal here that has been going on is about the dropping OpenBSD for the future PHP releases, because there is a discussion here, and some people claim it would suggest that you have some fake security, when
exactly.
In reality there are some ways to circumvent the restrictions of this PHP directory.
Limit
the way your scripts can open files, but there are ways to circumvent that. So they are suggesting to drop it so people do not rely on it. And then there are other people that think it may still be useful, even though it does not provide the full security that it suggests. So this is still up for discussion. I don't know if this is going to forward.
I don't use that function much, so I don't rely.
Mostly for shared hosting companies.
I limit
the way they access files from different clients.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't fully understand what is the problem, but I've been reading, and they say that there is no feasible way of making it security. So they tend to just drop it. They are hundreds of alternatives how you could open a directory. I use Glob most of the time, because I know that I don't have to go nested. So I just use Glob, and I forget about all these things.
Yes, I think this is more for a shared hosting environment, but I think, I don't know if I'm evaluating the whole problem, but I think if different users should have different user IDs, and the files that they can access should be restricted. But then there is the problem that the web server all runs under a single user and the same user. So there is some challenge there to prevent that users pick on different on other users under the same hosting account. Anyway, since this is just for shared hosting environments, and this is not a new problem, this is just to tell that there is no great solution for this problem. That's why this discussion appeared. And now moving on to another proposal here, which is about having a way to catch those eventual calls to functions of non-objects. This may happen if, for instance, you have assigned null to a variable and assume that it is an object, and you call it a function, and in reality it is not a callable function because the variable does not hold the object that you think it has. So this is more to catch bugs And the difference is that this proposal is trying, the thing that it's trying to improve is that they want to make those calls catchable. So originally it would throw a fatal error, and when a fatal error happens, you can even recover the line and the source file where the error happened, but you can't get a trace of the calls that got you there to that line. So if you are looking for code that is calling the code that caused that error, it will be hard to use the debug backtrace function. Actually, it's not hard, it's impossible. You just can't do that from an exception. I mean, a fatal error. You can use the register shutdown function to catch. Well, it's not really catching, it's just it runs some code before your script exits to figure if it was a fatal error, but from there you do not get the backtrace of the call, so you don't know where the call happened. So this proposal was already voted and approved, so I think it is a good thing. Cesar, did you follow these discussions? Do you also agree it is a good thing?
It's something that exists in many other languages. I've been seeing, I don't do Ruby, but I see that that there are some catch-all functions. So if you call to a function that doesn't exist, that function is called instead, and you can do debugging. I sort of like it. I wouldn't use it on production, so I don't mind. And it could be, as far as I understand, if you do something silly, you would get an exception that you could just catch it and continuing with your program. Yeah. So that's going to be something that frameworks are going to embrace. So they could just say, "Oh, okay, in your program, you had some error that, and here is where it was." So it would enhance the developer experience, and in production, rather than showing an white empty page, like you could show some nicer 500 error page. So I don't see any downside. So
yes, this is more to be able to also catch bugs and know where they happen exactly, not just the line number, but also the column code. How did I get here? Because in production you cannot do anything. You certainly won't resume your code after calling a function that doesn't exist.
But you can do things like clear the output buffer and render a 500 error page which says that something is broken, blah blah blah. But you could do so. This is a really good thing. If you go to the vote page, there are no vote against it, so that means that people like it. I just voted myself. They were explaining that there another request for comments that was accepted but not implemented, I guess, which was the exceptions in the engine itself. So
We mentioned that in the other month. Anyway, I certainly would not a different error page. That's, for me, it's not be that the main purpose. It's be more to produce more useful logs. At least I do that in production and
something meaningful.
To generate logs that tell me, oh, this code went wrong, and you get more context out of it. So I think it's generally useful. So now moving on to another topic, I'm just going to mention a couple of topics regarding some latest improvements in the PHP classes and JS classes sites. There is an article here that on which I am announcing the some improvements that were done on the user interface of the package pages, and we'll see more about that in practice on when we talk about the nominees for an innovation award. And basically, this is just to announce that there are several improvements, many improvements. This is an update that took like 5 months. The first 3 months were mostly about research, determining what to do. There is this design thinking process that was applied to determine what to do in collaboration with several users, including Cesar Rodas. Thank you, Cesar, for cooperating in this process. Your feedback was
no problem.
Very useful.
At any time.
Yeah, and basically, during those 3 months, there were some interviews with several users, and there was a prototype that was elaborated to evaluate whether the enhancements that were proposed would address the complaints, either of features or presentation that was not very good or missing features. So there are like 10 improvements here, but I will not go through them. It's easier to show than tell, and we'll get back to that head when we show the current way that package pages look. And this is interesting, and I also talk a bit about the design thinking process, how to use this to make your sites, not just this site, but any sites or any other product, not necessarily sites, could be mobile applications, could be any product, could be physical products, how to apply this process to make it perfect for the users. And perfect means that you will be listening to the users, and you will be collaborating with them to move on to a solution that is addresses the needs and the concerns of the users. And I will not go much about the details of this. I just want to add just a couple of things. First is that I implemented these improvements, and something not very good that happened is that Google crawled the new design of the pages, and it seems it didn't like it, and the many pages dropped the number of visits coming for search, for probably because the new user interface is tab-based, given that, I think Google did not see as much information on the pages because it just crawls the visible tab. Even if the content is all in the page, it just indexes the content that is in the visible tab. So the content is in other tabs. Google does not ignores it, and probably that's the reason why it dropped in the rankings. So what I did is, at least for now, the new design will only be visible to users that are logged in. So since the Google robots do not log in the site, they probably will not see the new design. They will still see the whole design. So if you are looking at the site and you are not logged, you will not see the new design. I'll probably implement some things that make the new design appear for non-logged users in certain cases, but at least for some pages that are well indexed on Google, they you still see the old design. But that's more a concern for new users. So if you are a regular user, you are logged in, you see the new design, so it won't affect you. The other thing that I wanted to comment is tied to the next topic that I want to comment, that is about the future the things that are being planned for the PHP classes side. And but before I move on to that, I'd just like to ask Cesar, regarding this new design, what were your impressions? Did you like it? Are there things to be improved? What did you think?
I was surprised when I saw it. I like it. There are a few things that I would like to different, but just tiny things. I will mention them in private. But other than that, I think the to my eyes, it's much cleaner. I don't have to scroll down like a lot to a few things. I just need to click into different tabs, and I like it. I like it.
Yes, that was the general impression, but there are also comments from people after I published the article. Some people were said that there are a few things that should be improved, and of course, when I say there is a process to make the site perfect, it doesn't mean that the site is perfect now. It just means that it's getting better to the point that the past complaints will not happen again. And as you said, one of the greatest improvements was more like, since it's now tab-based interface, you can go faster to the information that you want to see, and that provides a greater user experience. There was a few improvements that I did not finish until I make this release last month. For instance, the usage tab was renamed example. In this case, it will show an example of some code of a package that you want to see right away to see a clear example of how to use this package, so we don't have to browse all the files. Some packages, for instance, this one has like 145 packages. If you want to see an example of the package, it will take forever because you have to find what is the example file. And even though now the browsing of the package files is much faster, you can just click on it and it will load in the same page using Ajax. Going and see what is the example file that you want to see to evaluate if the package is easy to use or not, it will take a lot of time. And along with that, some people wanted to see live demos of the package working. So there is this demos tab. It does not appear for every user because some packages do not provide live examples. For instance, this package provides live examples. You can click on tabs and you see the examples. These examples are really in the other site, and the site makes them appear using iframes in the same page of the package. So there was always a concern to not make you go to another page to see what you want to see about this package to make a decision. So you can see different examples and you still do not leave the page. If you want to see an example page on another page, there is this button here that you can click and open the example on a separate tab. But most people just want to see it inside. The same goes for screenshots. If you have screenshots that show the package in action, you can go back and forth. You can also see tutorial videos. If the package provided some, you can show them right in the page. And as I mentioned also, the packages, the package files are also browsable totally inside the same page. And then when you decided that you want to download, this actually, Cesar, this was one of your suggestions. You suggested that there should be a direct link for the zip version of the package, although there are also RGZ versions. And thanks to your suggestions, I implemented this link here that goes directly to the zip version of the package for you to download. And as well, if you want to install it with Composer, you can click on this button here, and it will show you the Composer lines. I'm not showing it here because I'm logged user, and it will show my password here. So I'll not show it now. And anyway, if you are still not sure if this package is good enough, there is a reputation tab that lets you see several aspects of interest that refer to reputation. For instance, now you can see what is the percentage of files that were imported from version control repositories, could be Git or Subversion or CVS, and the number of packages that reuse this package. So this is a sign that this package is so reputed that other packages are using it. And then other metrics like the user downloads and the rankings and also number of visits for search engines. And below, you have more details about the ratings of the package. And you can see here the overall ranking, result score, 80% in this case, and also the ranking overall. And on the right side, you can see user comments. Some users, when they rate the packages, they leave comments. Those are posted in the forum of the package. But since I wanted to show it all here, because there was one specific user that I interviewed that said, oh, I would like to see the opinions about other users. So when there are users that give it their opinion, it will appear here on the right. Not all packages have other users' opinions, but in the future, I'll encourage more users to provide more feedback, so the site becomes more useful. So the enhancements were great, and the work will continue. And this ties with the next topic, on which I'm going to comment about. Let me get back to the article here. There is an article here that celebrated the 15th birthday of the PHP Classes site, and it just reviews what was implemented in the last year in terms of new features and also other features that are planned or they will be implemented sooner or later. Some of them were postponed features, as in features that were thought to be implemented in the past, but they were not implemented yet. Cesar, from these features, do you have any favorite features that you'd like to see implemented in future versions of PHP Classes site?
From the top of my head, I guess I would love to have a better search engine, like because your target is really really specific, which is just PHP language. I think that if you could add like search classes or search method or search functions, and that would be really helpful. It's just
one suggestion. You mean searching the actual code, not just
within the code. Say, I need a function which is specific, which I source in one of your packages. I could just paste there that function name, and that will just bring me this package has this function name, something like that. Yeah. That will be cool and wouldn't be that difficult. I'm not saying that it's easy, but not that difficult.
Yeah. Yes, the current search engine is very outdated. It still crawls the pages, and that's inadequate to make more detailed searches. So it will be replaced for a better search engine, and it will allow to index packages in a different way, getting more details, and the whole search system will be improved. And but that is just one aspect. What I plan to do right next to this, actually, I'm already working on, is having some way to to get better class recommendations for specific purpose. Like, for instance, if you want to implement a package for a certain purpose, and there are many packages that come out in the search results, probably it will be a bit of stress, because users will see many packages, and then they have to try all of them to see which one is the most recommended, and that is hard. So I'm working on a solution that will make that easier, and I think we'll get back to that like in the next few months. For now, I'm still evaluating how to do it. I'd rather not get much into details how it will come up, but that is the intention. Then there are other proposals to improve many things. I'm sure I'll not be able to do a good part of these things in the next year, because there are too many things to be improved. But the thing that ties to the previous article that we are commenting on, the site design, is that during the research, these interviews that I did with several users, I realized that there are other things that need to be improved. Actually, there are things, new features that need to be added, that not the PHP Classes site nor other sites are having the or at least doing it right. And that is the other comment that I wanted to make before, related with improving the site design, improving the user experience. And this is all to say that the future of the site is to continue to improve and continue to provide better user experience, and make it more usable, more useful, and more pleasant to use. So we will keep getting back to this topic, and once again, I would like to thank Cesar, not just Cesar, also Arthur Sostins, Hernani Joppert, and Joseph Brunner, which is a contributor of a JS Class site, and also Mario Moraes, which was another user that helped giving feedback about the site on what to do in the future versions. So for now, that's most what I wanted to say, given that we are already advancing in time in this hangout. So we are going to move on to our final sections, on which we comment on the latest features, I mean the latest innovative packages, first of the JS Class site. So we are going to comment on the winners of April. They were voted on May, and then in June the results come out, so we can comment about them now. Cesar, which ones would you like to comment? There are like four.
If you can help me, because I don't think my screen share is working, so let's talk about the first one about the let me see which one I'm chosen. Yeah, about the
simple chart.
No, it's display and edit in place in HTML tables.
Let me just open the page here. I think. Okay, and this one. Let me. Oh, there. Sometimes the screen sharing stops. Yours is not working.
No, it's not working. It was developed by András Toth, I guess is his name. He's from Hungary. I think I'm pronouncing right. I always had problems pronouncing.
Nobody gets foreign name right.
Yeah, and the idea is simple. It lets you, it's a jQuery plugin, and it lets you change data in place in within tables, and it lets you post towards your server, so you can process all these changes. And the other one that I'm chosen is the
Let me just open it here again, because I think it has some screenshots.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has one of
the screen here. Right, there are some screenshots. It's easier. Now with the new design, it's easier to see. You can see, just like you mentioned, the tables are editable, and you can perform other operations like searching and editing on screen.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's something that instead of doing it yourself, which I know that many people are capable of doing it, it's much easier than just using it. So I sort of like it. I really like it, to be honest. Like, I don't like doing this kind of project. I rather use it. The second I'm going to talk is the jQuery blocking to display bar charts. And the good thing is that it doesn't use canvas, and it uses div elements, and that's always good because it can run into other browsers, older browser or less capable browsers. So I don't want to give brands, but there are certain browsers which are less capable of, and this works. So it was developed by Robert Haddad. I guess is his family name is from Jordan. And this was the winner, I think. So good, congratulations, Robert.
Yes. Yes, it's always good to. Sometimes the purpose is very simple, but the packages are very useful, and they provide certain features that are interesting. So on my behalf, I would like to also comment on a couple of classes. I just reload them here, so I can see it as a logged user and see the newer interface. And the first one that I want to comment is MHUI. It's to build user interfaces, HTML user interface dynamically. So instead of you having the HTML define your user interface, you can add the elements. So the package is building your user interface. You can make them either work in a model interface or a model mode or a toast user interface, as they call it. So it is generally useful for many purposes. And congratulations to Matthew Hertel from the United Kingdom for his contribution. I hope we can send more and more packages like this. And the next package that I wanted to comment is this is somehow an unusual package. It's called Spreadsheet Animation Manager, which is basically it uses sprites, which is basically a way to gather many icons, many pictures in a single image, and this is used to produce animations. It's just a shame there is no example here. Actually, there is an example of a sprite, but not maybe something that demo the package. As you may see, this picture shows many characters in the different positions. And what this package allows is to show just one character in one position and proceed to animation, and it switches to different positions of the same character depending on where your character move. And this is interesting to develop games for people that are interested in games. This is very interesting, and I would say quite advanced, because it takes advantages of sprites on browsers to implement animations. And that was for the JavaScript classes. And just mentioned that this package was developed by Jimmy Bowles. He has already provided several interesting packages, and he's from Canada. And talking about developers that have contributed several packages, I would like to comment briefly just about this innovation award ranking for the year. As you may know, starting this year, there is a ranking not only by author but also by country. And the country that wins by the end of the year will win a special prize. This means that all nominated authors of that country will earn that prize. So the ranking for authors in 2014 is led by Andwit Jordan Marmolejo. He's contributed two packages and earned 10 points, followed by Jimmy Bo, just mentioned about him, with three packages and 7 points. And then there are several other authors with just one package that I hope they can submit more packages to raise in the rankings. And by country, so far Spain is leading, thanks to contributions of Andwit, is followed by Canada, also thanks to Jimmy Bo that submitted the three packages that got all the 7 points that Canada earned. Then it is followed by Italy with two packages and 6 points, and then several other countries with just one package. So we are still early in the year, and this ranking will evolve. So now moving on to the PHP Classes PHP Innovation Award winners. There are like six nominees in April, and let's comment about a couple each. Cesar, which ones would you like to comment?
On the PHP Classes side, right?
Right.
Okay, I'm chosen two. The first is the crypto PHP, which basically.
Okay, let me just
open it.
Since you are not able to share your screen, let me open the package here so I can show it myself. And okay, I think this is the one, right?
Yeah, this class has been developed by. Andoitz Jordan, I think it's Jordan, it's a Spanish name.
Yeah,
and its purpose is quite simple. It can encrypt source code and it can decrypt source code. You need a password to execute the program, so that's how it is in code. Because if you can execute the program, you can see the source code in PHP, so that's why you need the password to run it. I don't see myself in a situation where I would use it. I would rather use the same principles to encode other things like messages or something like that. So if you ever have to encrypt anything and decrypt, I would suggest that people look at this class. I think
this is more like, I think, for those cases that you probably want to ship some code that you don't want your boss to pick at the code because it's too dumb and is not able to decrypt the code.
Maybe.
You won't be able to alter it, but obviously somebody that understands enough about this can always decrypt the code because the password has to be provided.
Yeah, I think the code is good. I don't think the call class is good enough to myself. I'm speaking about myself where I would use it. But it uses, I think it's symmetric encryption when you need the same password to decrypt. So it's really good. If I ever need to encrypt something, I will definitely go there and see how they are doing it, and I will implement it that way. So it's really good. The second class that I would speak about is the Open OpenStreetMap Mapnik Talcache. It has a very long name. It was developed by Wayne Phillip. He's from Namibia. And the idea is to show the OpenStreetMap but cache it into your server, so you don't have to use the public server or some other server, and you don't have to do all the hassle of just installing new maps at every week and do decompression and things like that and complete things that developers don't want to mess up with. So this class make it simple. So and I do work with OpenStreetMap in a few tiny projects. So definitely I will keep an eye into this class.
Yes, that's really great from Wayne Philip. Oh well, it's from Namibia, right? And so on my behalf, I would like to also comment a couple of classes. Let's start showing this one before. Not exactly this one. This one, because okay, here it is. This is a PHP auto test, which is a sort of code integration package because it, continuous integration because it runs on the tests that you have in a package and reruns them once you change the files in a project. So it keeps monitoring the code of your packages, and if it sees that one of the source files has changed, it will run the tests again to see if they break anything and present results, so you can fix any problems sooner rather than later. So this is an interesting solution for people that are really into testing and fixing code as much as possible, as soon as possible. And this solution in case was provided by Dmitry Merkushin. I'm not sure if this is the right way to pronounce him, the name. And this from Russia. And the other package that I wanted to comment is this one, Curly, which is to test and test sites. It's a different kind of testing. You test your code by sending web requests, HTTP requests, to the server where your code is running. So we actually test the pages and stuff. And the difference here is that this package, it will test the code based on specifications of what to test, how to determine if the response is correct, using an XML format to define the what to test and what to expect. And so this is an interesting solution by somebody that called themselves Zen200 from France. So this is obviously not his real name, but that's okay. Just great that they sent this contribution, and it was his first package, and it is already nominated. So just to end, I'd like just to comment on the standings of the ranking for the Innovation Award, also of PhD classes. As you may see in this ranking here, the with Jordan Malaysia from Spain is leading, so he's quite happy, not just in PHP classes, but also in JS classes. He's leading packages, followed by Orazi Prince from Italy, also two packages, but only 11 points. Then there's Roger Backlund from Norway with 3 packages and 9 points. Ki Wang from Germany with 3 packages and 7 points. Then there are several other authors with just 1 package. By country, so far Brazil is leading with 3 packages and 17 points. So it's quite...
you are from Portugal, not from Brazil.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, in this case, my country ranking is quite lower. Anyway, just to mention that despite Brazil did not do very well, or at least as the Brazilians hoped, in the World Cup, at least in the PHP Innovation Award,
it's something.
It's actually leading. And three packages have earned Brazil 17 points, despite they are from different authors, which it is interesting because despite those authors are not leading the ranking, they are a bit delayed. They contribute together to bring Brazil to the first place. And it is followed by Spain with also three packages with only 15 points, and then Italy with three packages and 14 points. And then there is Norway and Germany also with three packages, and several other countries with less points. But at least in PHP classes, the rankings are getting interesting because collectively, some countries like Brazil taking advantage of different authors' contributions to lead the ranking. Well, with this, we practically reached the end of this already long podcast. I just would like to thank Cesar for coming back. Actually, welcome Cesar back from to the podcast because he has been busy with his marriage. I hope he's already settled in his new house as Mr. Rothers.
Yeah.
And yeah, I hope you
sometime.
Next time it will be easier to schedule this hangout that was like delayed for 2 weeks, but it finally made it. It was great because we covered great topics, and it is always great to have your insights.
Yeah, so, in theory, scheduling next month should be easier, as you all can see now. I don't have an office yet. I am outside, but that's fine. It should be much, much easier next month.
Yeah, I hope so. So with this, we finally ended this podcast. Thank you again for coming on my behalf. That is all for now. Bye.
Bye-bye.